Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
This evening to be in the presence of the Lord. I said, are we blessed to be in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. Every time you come into the presence of the Lord, I want you to be glad and joyful that you did. Because Satan tried everything to stop you, but he didn't succeed. Look at your neighbor and say, you made it. Hallelujah. He brought distractions to you. He brought challenges to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you braved through it and you made it to his presence. He will show us the path of life, for in his presence is the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm glad to be in his presence. David said, I was glad. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me the revelation of that scripture. David was busy running things. And his friend came to pass. And the friend greeted him and said, ah, how are you doing, sir? I said, I'm going to church. And David said, oh, I was so busy and I carried away by everything. And David dropped it. I said, I was glad when they said to me. In other words, that was better than what I'm doing right now. Hallelujah. His presence is better than what I'm doing right now. Amen. I'm excited to be in his presence. Hallelujah. Do you know that even when I'm tired, but when I come into his presence, I find joy and I find strength. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my rest. Hey, praise God. I said, what did I say? This is my rest. Some people want to go on vacation. This is my vacation. Every time I come here, it's vacation. It's vacation moment. He refreshes my soul. Hallelujah. You can go on a vacation and come back depressed. You can go on a vacation with the person you love and break up in the vacation. Yeah, so is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? But when you come into his presence, what do you find? Fullness. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? How much do you find? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give you praise, Jesus. I bless you, Pastor. Amen. All right, let's look into the word today. We have taken some break from our series that we've been teaching because of many things that came in between. But I'm going back to that series. I'm not finishing that series till 360. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are stuck with this series. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we have to be fruitful. Hallelujah. What did I say? We have to be fruitful. So we're stuck with it. Except if you plead with the Holy Spirit and He changes the curriculum. Hallelujah. If not, you're stuck with different dimensions of fruitfulness. We talked about being fruitful in how many things? In all things. Amen. I'm so excited in my spirit. I'm so excited in my spirit. My soul shall magnify your name. My spirit praise your name. For death could never hold them captive, even in the rain. Jesus is Lord, even in the rain.
Yes,
Jesus is Lord. My soul shall magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
My spirit praise your name.
Yes,
for death could never hold them captive.
Yes,
even in the grave.
Yes,
Jesus is Lord.
Hey,
even in the grave.
Yes,
Jesus is Lord.
Even in the grave.
Even in the grave.
Hey,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Lord. Remember that the Bible says we died with Him and we resurrected with Him. So that Jesus scripture is talking about is you. That even in the worst of conditions of your life, God has made you an overcomer even in it. So sing it like you understand what the song is saying.
In the grave,
Jesus is Lord.
That tells you this is the end is a lie. Hallelujah. You determine the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, you determine the end. The circumstances don't determine the end. The people that seemingly look in charge don't determine the end. You determine the end. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It doesn't matter. It's not the circumstances. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your hope is not determined, is not bounded by the situation. It is the Christ in you that determines the boundary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Bible says that Christ in you is what? Is the hope of what? Glory. And it's a never-ending glory. Because the path of the just is like a shining light. And it shines brighter and brighter. Oh, I love another version. It says the path of the just is like when the morning sun rises and keeps getting bright. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this morning or evening? This time, is it morning or evening? It's evening. Now, is this time brighter than when you woke up in the morning or not? It is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So weeping may endure for a night. joy comes in the morning. Oh, it's a morning, it's an evening of prophecies. I wish somebody would receive that word from the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night. Yes. The word endure means it may persist. Yes, we may struggle with it. Hallelujah. But look at your neighbor, tell him, but. Tell your neighbor, my butt is by the corner. But it's just my butt. But what? Joy. Hallelujah. Tell someone, joy cometh. Oh, the Lord showed me the revelation of joy. I discovered that joy is a personality. And you're not hearing what I'm saying. He says, joy cometh. In other words, joy is looking for you. Oh, you're not hearing what I said. Joy cometh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It may look far from where I am, but it's on its way. Hallelujah. So tell depression, take your time. take everything that is a worry, a concern. Tell him joy is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, joy cometh. It will be all over in the morning. In the morning, morning, it will be all over in the morning. You don't have to worry, and you don't have to cry. It will be all over in the morning. In the morning, morning, it will be all over. In the morning, in the morning, morning, it will be all over. In the morning, in the morning, morning, it will be all over in the morning. Yes, it will be all over in the morning.
Hold somebody's hands and minister to him.
It will be all over in the morning. In the morning. In the morning. Morning. Yes. It will be all over in the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Oh,
And so when we say it will be over in the morning, it means God will shine his light in your darkness. And it will break the tyranny of darkness. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. I hope somebody has received that word from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to them who are simple. Thank you because of that which you are about to do to us tonight. And do in us, and do for us, and do with us. Have your way, Spirit of God. Let the anointing that makes ministry simple rest over this house. Take these lips of clay and let them be used as oracles of your plans, purposes, and intentions. In Jesus' name we pray. There is something that I believe that Satan is using to destroy the body of Christ. And it is done in a very subtle way. Hallelujah. I want you to get this. That the general operation of Satan is with subtlety. Satan, every time Satan wants to enter a thing, he never enters into that thing with boldness. He never enters into that thing in an obvious way. He always comes in a subtle way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He comes in with subtlety. And I believe that, especially of recent, there's something that the enemy has been doing to destroy, I believe is a weapon of the last days, to destroy the prosperity. And listen to me. He's using it to destroy the prosperity of people, but especially the prosperity of the believer. Because I want you to get this. Every battle or every war Satan wages against a life or against anybody, his problem is not with them that do not believe. Them that do not believe are collateral damage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His actual target is the believer. His actual target is the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And please, are you? I want you to follow me. And just follow me. I want to establish something. So he comes in, his target is the kingdom. And as he fights the kingdom, anything that is around the kingdom, anything that is connected to the kingdom, becomes collateral. Because anything that is not in the kingdom has no effect on the kingdom of darkness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Anything that is not in the kingdom of God has no effect on the kingdom of darkness. Anything that is not, Jesus said, anybody that is not with us, then is against us, isn't it? So anything that is not in the kingdom of God, Satan has no, really, he does not have any concern with you. His target is the kingdom of God. His goal is the believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, Satan is fighting a subtle warfare, and the people that are becoming victims of that warfare are who? Believers. His target are believers. Other people may subscribe to that, may fall victim of that warfare, but his actual target is the believer. And so, therefore, the believer must be circumspect. The believer must be discerning to know that this battle is actually against me, against my prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Satan is using three things to fight this. One, Satan is using the general hardship in the world. How many of you have discovered that the world is very difficult now? It doesn't matter where you are, whether you are in UK, you are in Nigeria, you are in US. The world generally is difficult. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The heart, we are approaching the heart of what the Bible calls the perilous times. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is nobody finding anything actually easy. It's just that, like medical people will say, our immunity is getting stronger against it. That's just all. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago, I can't remember, you were buying fuel at 700, 800, Now you are buying fuel at 1,003, almost double what you were buying before. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What does that mean? And you are still alive and you can still smile. That tells you something about you, not about the situation. No, somebody is not getting what I'm saying. That tells you something about you. Help me congratulate your neighbors. Tell that say, I'm learning something about you. I'm learning something about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So there's hardship. There's hardship. So the first instrument that Satan is using is hardship. Things are difficult. Things are challenging. And I'm going to show you what that thing is. The second thing Satan is using to fight your prosperity, are you hearing me? Is wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. Listen to me. I have heard, because I want to share some things with us. And I want to show you how that Satan is using wrong teaching. And let me say something to you. Even if something is not, I have not experienced it working. Are you hearing me? If the Bible says that is the root to that thing, I will stand with what the Bible says. Amen. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The proof of the Bible is not results. Somebody didn't hear what I said. Did you hear what I said? The proof that the Bible or the Word of God is true is not the result I get. Did you not read the Bible in the book of Hebrews 11 that there were men who believed but did not receive, but did not enter into the rest? Didn't you read it? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So the proof that the Word of God is true is not because I got a result. Because part of the problem now, when you hear people saying certain things, they say, I did this, I did that, nothing happened. And so because nothing happened, they've been taught a transactional relationship with Jesus. It was Mary that sent, was it Martha that sent, told Jesus, if we know if you were here, you would not have died. You refused to come. That's why he died. There are people who are like that. So they never experienced the resurrection. No, you didn't get what I said. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So there are people who are transactional in their belief of God. So if they want something from God, and they prayed, and they believe that if they prayed, they fasted, then God is obligated to do it for them the way they have wanted him to do it. And if God doesn't do it like that, then something about their faith doesn't stand. Amen. And then what I call the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist is not just a person. When we talk about the Antichrist, we are not just talking about a person. We are talking actually about an ideology. Please hear what I'm saying. The Antichrist is an ideology. Scripture talks about it. It says anything that lifts up itself above the image of God, above the image of Christ. That is that, listen to me, anything that you meet in your life that is lifting up itself against the knowledge of God is an Antichrist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Anything that is lifting up itself above the knowledge of God is an Antichrist. So anybody that tells you that homosexuality is right, what is that? It is the Antichrist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the Antichrist. Anything that rises up and tells you, listen to me, anybody, I want to show you something. Anybody that rises up and tells you, are you hearing what I'm saying, John? That giving is not correct is what? Is an Antichrist. Are you hearing me, church? And I want you to be a different church in these last days. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to be a different church in these last days. I was watching a program on TV. And let me tell you, I told you that Satan comes by subtlety, right? So I was watching a message recently. And there's a young preacher in this country. I respect him a lot. Great man of God, doing great work. But you know, one of the ways the Antichrist works, are you hearing me? Listen to me. I've taught this before, but for some reason, I don't know whether we still have it in curriculum or removed it. I taught about secularity, secularism. You know when something is secular? Are you getting my point? When populist ideas, Well, you know, when people bring up an idea and everybody, people seem to like it, it's nice, it's sweet. Be careful about it. Everything that was popular in the day of Jesus, Jesus brought it down. Jesus fought everything that was popular in his day. Everything that looked popular in his day, Jesus fought it. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said that if a man, if somebody, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, you have heard that it was said, everything that was popular, Jesus fought against it. And be careful about the things that are popular. That something is popular, it does not mean it is of God. So I had this preacher preach a very interesting message. He said a woman in his church came and brought her tithe. And when he looked at her, he saw that she was poor and she was somehow, and he said to her, no, 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 go with your tithe, go and use it. So I asked a question, were you the one that appointed the tithe? You know, even the way you are responding to me, you know, let me tell you what, the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that kind of story is that, no, this man is a nice man. He has concern, he has care. I want to ask you a question. When Elijah met the woman at Zarephath, was Elijah a wicked man when he met her? No, I'm asking you a question. Are you understanding? Please listen to me. Scripture does not appeal to your senses. So, Scripture does not appeal to your own personal opinion or how you see life. So he said to her, he said, no, no, no. She should not take the tithe. She should take it and go away with it. And I looked at him. I said, no, it was not you. It was not you that instituted it. It was God that instituted it. God didn't ask your opinion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it looks nice. That's why I'm telling you that when Satan comes, how does he come? He comes with subtlety. And many times he will come in popular public opinion. What people will like. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how he comes. And many people become prey of it. Many people become prey of it. I have looked at that scripture of the woman of Zarephath. And I have wondered many times. The woman said to Elijah, this is the last gari we have in the house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the last. She said, I'm gathering some sticks, not firewood. That means that what she has to cook does not need firewood. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What she has to cook does not need. She said, I'm gathering a few sticks to go and prepare it so that I and my son will eat it. And after we eat it, we know that we will die. No, sincerely speaking, John, wouldn't you have pitied that woman? You know, wouldn't you have pitied the woman? No, the woman was a thing of pity. I believe that Elijah was more prosperous than that woman at that time. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. It seems to me that Elijah was more prosperous than that woman at that time. Then Elijah said to her, I have heard you. But you know what? Go and prepare for me first. No, sincerely speaking, isn't that a wicked man? Isn't that a wicked man? He said, go and prepare. He didn't say, go and prepare and share it for us. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in church this evening? Oh, some of you have left. You have gone to that pastor's church. He said, go and prepare it for who? For me. Now, I can tell you something. Whatever that thing was that woman was going to prepare was not going to be enough for Elijah, a grown man. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So whatever she was preparing, when he said, go and prepare for me first, what he was saying is that bring everything. Oh, let me tell you something. You know, I'm talking to you, I'm bringing you into a law. But I felt it was important for me to begin to introduce the law from this angle. So that you will not be bewitched like many are becoming bewitched. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we say that you are bewitched, means there's another spirit that is at work. I want to ask you a question. All of the fathers of faith, how did you hear that they came into their prosperity? Now I want to ask you, all the fathers of faith you know, whether it is Bishop Oyedepo, whether it is Kumuyi, whether it is whether it is Chris or Akilomi, all of them, how did you hear they came into prosperity? No, I'm asking you, answer me now. How did they tell you they came into prosperity? Nobody knows in this place. Or is it that you don't want to answer? I said, how did you know? What did they tell you they did that they came into prosperity? You don't know. Okay, these people you know, tell them. Look at them. Point at them. They are not answering, so point at them and tell them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then how come you say that they are your fathers in the faith, but you, your generation says, don't give? So I want to ask you a second question. This is our generation and their own generation. Who prospers more? Who is prospering more? No, now, who is prospering more? This generation or that generation? Don't you think that you should start thinking? That enough should make you start thinking, isn't it? At least, even if you didn't hear the Bible, if you can just think right, that should start speaking to you. But we are the generation that have every kind of doctrine. Listen to me. There was a season in this country, nobody talked about tithe, whether tithe was correct or tithe was not correct. But you see, some people came and met Jesus and said to him, is it right for a man to put away his wife? He said, is it right for a man to put away his wife for any reason? Then Jesus answered them. He said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to put away your wife. He said, but in the beginning it was not so. Which means, sir, that when men become hard of heart, they devise means to escape the demands of God. So when you see men have devised means of escaping divine commandment, it is actually because of the hardness of their heart. No, a sister said to me, well, a leader, didn't pay tithe for quite a number, like 4, 5, 6 months. So I called her. I said, what did you do? What was happening with you? Because first, you want to know whether there's trouble in the person's life. Maybe he's going through something and everything. I asked her, what happened? And the sister said to me, she gave many reasons. Then she said, my mother was trying to buy a plot of land, so I used my tithe to support her. So I said to her, did you tell your mother that it was your tithe that you used to support her? She said, no. I said, if you had told your mother that you were using your tithe to support her buy a plot of land, would your mother agree? Your mother that I know. Fruitfulness. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is a law. Is a law. And I said to you, law does not respect time and space. Amen. He does not respect time and space. Listen to me. Let nobody deceive you. It's a law. The law of sowing and reaping. So because of the hardness of the heart of men, let me tell you something. The most fearful thing for a pastor to teach in Nigeria today is to teach about money. It's a fearful thing to teach on money. Especially to teach on the law of sowing and reaping. They have almost, sincerely speaking, if you look at the commentary, we have almost arrived at a point to say it actually doesn't work. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? That's the point they want, this generation wants to bring it to. Amen. So they have made pastors, when pastors, they've painted pastors black too much. But did you notice that nobody fights when people build stadiums? Have you noticed that nobody fights anybody when they build stadiums? Amen. When people build, do you know, let me tell you a story. When we bought this place, and we were going to, when we bought this place, when we bought the place, when we were buying the place, I never came here. People never saw me here. So just about the time that we wanted to come and start working on the place, you know, Satan is, somehow, maybe information went out. And I remember one day, myself and Pastor were coming back from somewhere, and as we were walking home, we just saw somebody just around this area, just around here. We just saw three people there. So I walked up to them because somehow in my spirit, I just felt something wrong was going. So I walked up. So as I was approaching them from where the generator house, as I was approaching, two of them left. Then one of them stood. So I walked up to him. So I said, is there any problem? I saw you are talking, you are pointing at the land here. Is there any problem? And the person said, are you the barrister pastor? I said, why are you asking? He said, they had that. The person that bought this land is a pastor and is a lawyer. I said, okay. I didn't reveal myself. Then the man said, I've never met them. I've never come here to do anything. I will just pass. I didn't show myself here. The Holy Spirit told me not to show myself. So I never showed myself here. Then the guy said to me, he said, all the people in this area have come together. He is a lawyer, and they've hired him to ensure that the church is not built here. That's what they said. They said, oh, everybody, they've come together. The association of those living around this area have come together, and they have agreed that a church should not be built here because this place is a residential area. If a church is built here, it's going to disturb people. It's going to disturb this and that. So I asked him a question. I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, I want to ask you a question. If they were building a shopping mall here, would somebody have complained? If they were building a supermarket here, would somebody have complained? If they were building a club here, would somebody have complained? Are you getting me? If they were building a place like Brave Rock, where people do a recreation center, would somebody have complained? Nobody would have complained. But the moment you begin to build the church, the moment you begin to talk about anything that will advance the believer or advance the kingdom, people begin to have all kinds of philosophies. You know, when God wanted to show him, we did not only build, we bought the house he was living in. Where the school is, was the house he was living in. We bought the house he was living inside. Have you noticed? People build all kinds of things. Nobody fights it. Just try and build a fine church. Just try and do a big conference. Everybody begins to fight it. Do you think it is normal? And the people that will fight it will be members, will be people, will be church people. I mean, you hear what people are saying? Say, why are they building big church like this? They should have built hospital. And you know, their argument looks so good that if you are there, you can't even fight back. Why? Because it appeals to the senses. But what they are doing is that quietly, small by small, they are erasing the kingdom. That is how they started selling churches in UK. That's how they started. And then they were selling churches, and then they were converting the churches to mosque, and nobody complained. So every time
time somebody comes to you and say, why are they building big church? Why are they doing this? See, it is Antichrist that is speaking. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
I said, did you hear what I'm saying? It is Antichrist that is speaking. There's an assignment for hospitals, but there's an assignment for a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody has his assignment. Now, I'm saying this because I'm going to go further and you will see. I'm saying this because within the conversation, things that have to do with giving unto the Lord will arise. And I'm preparing your heart so that when he arises, that spirit will have no expression in your heart. Because sowing and reaping is not only about giving to church. But every time you announce sowing and reaping or giving, especially if you are talking about it in church, people immediately think that you are talking about giving to the pastor or giving to the church. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Can I have it? Media. Media, you have to do something about this place. So we cannot be. You have to do something about this place quickly. While the earth remaineth. Praise God. It's called a law. Hallelujah. It's called a. This is not Old Testament, New Testament. No. Is that all right? Old Testament started with Moses. This was before Moses. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is not old. Nobody should come and tell you, you know, that was Old Testament. When the Old Testament is not Old Testament or New Testament. While the earth remaineth, what? Seed, time, and what? Harvest. And cold and heat, and summer and winter. Definitely, whoever was translating this, he lives, he's a white man. He doesn't know that we have other seasons apart from summer and winter. Summer and winter. And day and night shall not cease. While what remains? Are you living on earth? Tell your neighbor, are you living on earth? Ask him, are you living on earth? Are you living on the earth? Now the Bible says, as long as what? The earth remaineth. Seed, time, and harvest shall never cease. It's called the law of what? Sowing and reaping. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Listen to me. It applies to children as it applies to adults. In fact, let me tell you this. Teach your children to be generous early. Amen. As long as the earth remains. So if you are on this earth, it's not going to change. Amen. And so therefore, I want to talk to us today on what I call the law of the seed. The law of the seed. The law of the seed. And I want to quickly share a few things within the time I have. The law of the seed. Number one. A seed is anything that you have been given. A seed is anything that you have been given. Something you own. Something you know. Something you have. Something you've been given. Something you own. Something you have. Something you know that has the capacity to produce a harvest, that has the capacity to create what you need, that can produce a harvest. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? A seed is what? Is anything that you know, you have, you own, you have been given, that has the capacity to produce what? A harvest. A harvest. has the capacity to produce a harvest. You know what? One of the worst things, when a farmer in this season now, what is the first thing a farmer needs to have in his hand? Seed. How many of you know that it's not land? It's seed. If you have land and you don't have seed, your land is useless. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you know there are people going around trying to buy good seed? Amen. I planted rice on my farm last year and it came out very well. And so when we went for the harvest, the guy that was managing the farm said to me, he said, "Sir, preserve this seed. It's good seed. Preserve it so that we can use it next year." And a good brother that was managing some of this for me preserved quite an amount of the seed. The number one thing a farmer needs is what? His seed. Because the farmer knows that his harvest is tied to the seed. In fact, let me say this, that the future of a farmer is tied to what? Is tied to his seed. It's tied to his seed. Listen, everything begins with a seed. Everything begins with a seed. Everything begins with a seed. I read this book close to 25 years ago, and this book changed my life. This book. Well, I just want to show you so you can go get your own. I will not borrow you, don't come. I will not give you, don't come. My original one has been whatever. I don't want to say it has been stolen, but somebody must have taken it. So I encourage you, if you can find it. Do you know how we built this place? I was coming back from Lagos, stopped in Jos to pray. And people were telling me, people have been telling me for years, "Sir, build." We're using Amina Haji Amina Hall, for those of you that remember. And we're doing two services in two different halls. We tear down, we set up every day, we tear down, we set up. And people were saying, "Build, build, build, build." You know, when people are telling you things, be careful. It's when you start, they will push you and withdraw. You know, build, build, build. And I went to see my mentor and we had a good time. Coming back, and he shared some things with me, and I felt that I should just stop and pray. So I went up a particular mountain to pray, and while I was praying on that mountain, I got tired, and I put my Bible, you know, under my head, and I slept off, you know. And in that dream, I had an open vision. I was on that mount, on that rock, on that, it was a small rock, you know, just small, maybe about the height of this window, you know. And while I was praying, I saw paths where children were coming from different, because I was just traveling and I just stopped in one village, in a village, serious village. I found a place where I could sleep. So I saw children running, I mean, going to school. While I was praying, you know, I was praying. I went there around 5 a.m. in the morning. And so I was on the mountain praying. Around 7:38, I saw children coming out from the hamlets, very far, because I was on the rock. And I could see them going to school, you know. So when I laid down, I had a vision. I was in a trance and I had a vision. I was standing on that same place, and I saw those paths the children were using to go to school. I saw samurais. You know samurai? How many of you know samurai? Have you heard of samurai? Tell the truth and shame the devil. I saw samurai. Now, how many of you know ninja? How many of you know ninja? Have you ever heard of ninja before? You've watched ninja movie. So samurais are like ninjas. But samurais are actually, in Japanese culture, they are the king's bodyguards. So I saw samurais. They were running up that mountain where I was standing. They were coming at me. So at first I was afraid. They were coming from all the different parts. I saw those children taking to school. At first I was afraid. Then somehow I stood. And they all ran up the mountain. And they were surrounding me. And the Lord said to us, and behind them I saw people coming. Large number of people coming towards me. And the Lord said to me, "Go home and build. Your strong men have come." So we built this place in 10 months.
This building, we built in 10 months. But when we had to start the building, we didn't have money. All we had, everything we had, was 100,000 in our account. So I took the 100,000 and went and bought cement. You'd be a fool if you believe that. All we had was 100,000. And I took the 100,000 and I sent it as a seed. I sent it to a particular man of God. And I didn't tell him where I sent it. I left it to be between me and God. So I sent it to him. But when I sent it to him, I think when the money landed his account, he called me later. I said, man of God, I saw a seed from you. I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you believing God for? Now, I call that spiritual intelligence. The moment you see seed, are you hearing me? The meaning of a seed is that somebody is expecting a harvest. Every time you see a seed, oh God, I wish I could teach you this. I wish I could drill it into your spirit. You see, when that woman gave that flour, when she gave that bread, it was a seed. It was the seed that she needed to live for the rest of the season of the famine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when the prophet took it from her and ate of it, he said to her, the jar of oil will not cease, neither the cruse of... He says, until the day the Lord brings rain upon the land. So listen to me. Whenever you need a harvest, what you actually need is a seed. All the people farming right now, can I have more power on this? All the people farming right now, they are not looking for a seed. What are they looking for? They are looking for a harvest. And every harvest begins with a seed. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I like the people I'm teaching to this evening. I said every harvest begins with what? With a seed. Now, many years ago, I read this book and Oral Roberts made a statement that became part of my life. He said, I never do anything until I have prayed about it and have sown a seed concerning it. He said, I never do anything until I have prayed about it and I have sown a seed concerning it. And that became a motto of my life, sir. I never do anything. If you ever see me do anything, there was a seed that was planted concerning that thing. Because you know the thing about the seed, sir? The seed will speak. No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 4, let's have Mark 4:26, I think. Give me Mark 4:26. Let me say something to you. That there is a conspiracy to put a limitation over your life. There's a conspiracy. All of those things are conspiracies to limit what God will do, can do with you and for you. Look at this. He says, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should what? Should cast seed into the ground. And when he has cast seed into the ground, he stays there to pray. He stays there to speak in tongues. He stays there to fast. He stays there to look for connection. No, what does he say? And should what? What does the man do after he has planted that seed? Listen to me. Part of the reason you see some people sleeping and things are working is not really that they are sleeping. It is that there's a seed that has been planted. No, you are not getting what I said. And should sleep and rise night and day. And what is going to happen? And the seed should spring and grow up. What has the man done to make it happen? He knoweth not how. That means that every time I release my seed, there is a technology that happens in the spirit. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. God takes that seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That within every seed is the power to bring forth. So, should spring and grow up, and the man knoweth not how. Next verse. Oh, for the earth. Look at somebody and say the earth. For the earth does what? Bringeth forth fruit of how? Of herself. Which means that every time you sow seed upon a good ground, the ground has the capacity to cause that seed to bring forth. In other words, the easiest way to bring forth is to plant a seed in the ground. The earth bringeth forth fruit of how? Of herself.
First the blood, then the air. After that, the full corn in the air. Yes, continue. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately what happens? He put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. Now, let me ask you a question. There are only two times within this scripture that the man is mentioned. Oh, somebody didn't hear what I said. I said there are only two periods that the man is mentioned. The man is mentioned at the season of sowing, and the man is mentioned at the season of harvest. What happens in between is God. Look at your neighbor and say, what happens in between is God. Can I say something to you? Every time you are invited to sow, you are actually invited for a harvest. Wise men know that sowing time is actually not sowing time. It's actually a harvest time. Can you give me this in the Amplified? Give me this in the Amplified. Do we have the Amplified? But when... No, go back to verse 26. Then he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who throws seed on the ground. Next verse. And he goes to bed at night. Oh, I love this. What does he say? And the man goes what? I want to show you the stressless way into harvest. I want to show you the stressless way into harvest in your life. And he goes to bed at night and gets up every day. And in the meantime, somebody say, in the meantime. That is, if you watch social media, they write it a few moments later. In the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How he does this, the man does not know how. Can I talk to somebody? Let this season be your planting season. I said, what did I say? I said, let this season be what? Your planting season. He does not know how it happens. Next verse. The earth produces how? By itself. First the blade, then the head of the grain, then the mature grain in the head, yes. But when the crop ripens, he immediately puts the sickle to reap because the time for the harvest has come. I'm showing you the law of the seeds. Listen to me. And I'm showing you the reason why many people, there's no harvest in their life. You're not hearing what I'm saying. There's no harvest in their life. Or there is not the kind of harvest they desire in their life. Because you cannot sow beans and reap corn. Can I say something to you? I don't mean to be offensive. If you are going to prosper, you're going to have to lift yourself by the bootstraps. Let me tell you something. I know the day, sir, I decided that I will prosper by scripture. Because let me tell you this. Receiving Jesus gives you salvation. It does not give you prosperity. The law of prosperity produces prosperity in you. So many people are in church. They love God. Are you hearing me? But they are unwilling to obey the law of prosperity. And listen to me, I told you that when it comes to law, there are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. The law of giving is a spiritual law, sir. It's a spiritual law. And many people who are not believers, they are willing to obey the law of Jesus, even though they have rejected the person of Jesus. And because they know the law of Jesus, they prosper within the law of Jesus. And yet we have people in church that have received the person of Jesus but have rejected the laws of Jesus. Let me tell you something that breaks my heart. The people who serve God the most in many churches are the poorest. The people that you come and see working hard, sweeping in church, cleaning in church, doing ushering, doing protocol, teaching in Sunday school, are often the poorest. You know why? Because they have accepted the person of Jesus. They want to serve Jesus, but they don't want to obey the laws of Jesus. So when you come to church and you say to them, we are building, put a seat. They are there. No. Me, I'm serving God. I'm going to serve God. See, you will serve God till Jesus comes, but you will not prosper. That's not a prophecy. I mean that if you don't obey the laws of Jesus, you will get to heaven and you will receive reward for serving him on the earth. But on the earth, you will struggle with prosperity. You will struggle with prosperity. Because Jesus will not break his law for you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I have seen that the people in church, are you hearing me? And it's the reason why sometimes some people in church that are dedicated and serving God well, they become offended and bitter in their spirit. You know what, sir? They come to church. They see that guy that doesn't work, does not serve God. He doesn't belong to a team. He doesn't belong to a unit. He's not doing anything. Sometimes he's not even living right like that. That guy seems to be prospering. He changed car. He changed house. He do this. Then they are wondering, this Jesus, is he really correct? Hello? Jesus is correct. The difference is that that person is operating a law that you are not operating. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said that person is operating a law that you are not operating. Within this season, I will share certain testimonies. The purpose of sharing the testimony is not, I'm not telling you to go and do it. If Jesus doesn't minister to you, don't do it. But I share them so that you can learn something. One of the brothers that had one of the greatest breakthroughs in this church, the day he received his first salary, close to 900 and something thousand, I just saw an alert. And the person said, my first fruit, sir. That was his first salary. He said, my first fruit, sir. In between when that guy has gave his first fruit about 3 years ago and now, that guy must have sown close to 6 to 7 million in this ministry. And the guy is just moving, doing better every day. You see, you are collecting 30,000. You have never sown 15,000 as first fruit. I don't mean to condemn you. Get it? No, I want to ask you a question, sir. The person that gave 900 and something thousand and the person that is collecting maybe 30,000 that has not given 15,000, who do you think will get greater harvests? Can I say something to you? I almost said wallahi. Can I say something to you? I'm telling you, but many of us are the reason why we are poor. It's not that God, we are the reason that we are poor. We are the reason that we are poor. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the greatest kept secret from you that your fellow brother in church is not telling you. There are people you are sitting close to right now. If they tell you how much they sow as seed, it will shock you. But they are your friends. They meet with you. They hug you. You walk church. But they have never told you the real secret of their prosperity. The real secret of their prosperity is not the connection they have. You think it is connection. But the real secret, are you hearing me? Is that they have entered into stressless, are you hearing me? Production of harvest. Stressless one. So, you know, sometimes church is like secondary school or university. Some of you that did it in university. How many of you discovered that in university you have friends or secondary school you have friends? Some of them, they will get a special textbook. They will get one textbook about one course. And they will wrap it with newspaper. Only them will be reading it. You will think that you are attending the same class, you are doing the same thing. You are just seeing their result is different. You are wondering, but we are reading the same note. We are doing the same thing. No. You are not. Can I tell you something about the seed, man? How many of you discovered that seeds don't die easily? Seeds don't die easily. That is why there are seeds that it will speak in your children's life. There are seeds that will speak in your children's life. Let me tell you, there are things I have done in my life, and I did it for my children. I did it for them. The law of the seed. Reverend Barnes told me a story. I've told you the story a couple of times. Reverend Obi Goodhart Ekweme invited him to, that he had a problem in his life, so he invited him to come and pray with him. So Reverend Barnes can pray. The ministers are close to me that I know. The one that I know can pray, Reverend Barnes. Reverend Barnes has 30-hour prayer sessions. Reverend Barnes, 30 hours of prayer. So Reverend Barnes, you know, he invited Reverend Barnes to come and pray. So Reverend Barnes went to Abuja to go and pray with him. So they started praying. They started praying maybe around 9 o'clock. By around 12, the man that had the problem, Goodhart, said, let me go and rest. I'll catch up with you. He went to sleep. He woke up around 5. He met Reverend Barnes. Reverend Barnes had just entered gear 4. So the guy came. So the guy, after the funeral, he said, come, sir. He said, how come the results in my life look great, bigger than the results in your life, but you pray more than I pray. Now, as at that time, Obi Ekweme was a senior in ministry, where they were the same ministry. Obi Ekweme was senior to him. So he said to him, he said, look, let me tell you something. My father was not a Christian. That's the former vice president. He was not a Christian. I hope you know he was not a Christian. He was an idol worshiper. He was not a Christian. But the man had, you know, let me tell you something. Do you know that even idols can tell you what to do? So the guy, Obi Ekweme, that is former vice president, he is one man that has built more churches than anybody from the southeast. Every time he is driving, if he sees an uncompleted church, he will stop. He will ask them for how much it will cost to finish it. He will pay for it. Anytime he's going anywhere and he sees uncompleted church, he will stop. He will ask for how much it cost. He will pay for it. So, he has built more churches than anybody. So, Pastor Barnes said to him, he said, my grandfather, the one that I met, was a native doctor. He said, you come from a generation of people who are building churches. He said, how will you not be more blessed than me? He said, are you hearing what I'm saying? See, let me tell you. There are seeds that are speaking on behalf of people. Because seeds don't die. There are seeds, you know, right now, there are seeds that are 4,000 years. They are still potent. They are still potent. It is the law of the seed. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you today? So listen to me. Time is a seed. Attention is a seed. Money is a seed. Words are seeds. The type of seed you plant determines the type of harvest you get. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked.
he will not allow himself to be ridiculed or treated with contempt. He says, for whatever a man sows. Look at the neighbor, say whatever. That the word whatever there means what, whatever kind. Have you seen a man who sowed masara and reaped gero? No, no. Whatsoever a man sows, whatever is the type of seed you sow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatsoever type of seed you sow. Hallelujah. Number two, another rule. The quality, the quantity, the type of seed you sow determines the quality, the quantity, and the type of harvest you get. So Jesus said, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. In other words, one of the greatest deceptions of life is to sow a particular kind of thing and expect a different kind of harvest. Listen to me, from today, every time you are sowing a seed, look at what you are sowing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From today, every time you are sowing something, look at the kind of thing you are sowing. And ask yourself, is this the kind of harvest I want to get? Because whatever you are sowing is telling you the kind of harvest that is coming back to you. You know those people who come to church and give an offering of half 50 naira? Ushers, money counters, have you seen half 50 naira? Recently, I went to the bank. I was doing a transaction in the bank. So I got to the bank with Abigail. And I think I got to the bank before her. She was going to the bank. I was going to the bank. So I dropped her. So we went together. So I was at a particular place doing a particular transaction. She brought out the offerings from church. And all the bankers were laughing. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm trying to show something. So all the bankers were like, ah, what kind of thing is this? 5 naira, 10 naira. It was 5 naira, 10 naira, and 50 naira were the highest. 5 naira, 10 naira, 50 naira. It was just heap of it. So the bankers were laughing. And because they know that, some of them, not all of them, knew that she was with me. So I spoke from the angle where I was. So I joined them to laugh. Then I said, that is what you... So, okay, so they were complaining. Who's going to count this? Who's going to count all of this? So I looked at them and said, no, it was the offering people brought to church. I said, don't complain. Like 95% of them there were Christians. So I told them, I said, don't worry, now it's the offering people brought to church. You can. When I finished my transaction, I was about to go, I came to meet her. I said, Abigail, are we going together? They were the ones answering, no, sir, just go. She will follow you later. They were stretching your 5 nairas, stretching. Somebody there was angry. He said, if you are going to give offering, at least 200 naira, at least. I stood there. I said, it is the offerings you people brought. It's the offerings you brought. Listen to me. I'm about to say something very serious. Whatever your life is today is a product of seeds that you sowed yesterday. And I'm not just talking about money. Whatever your life is today is a sign of the seeds that you sowed yesterday. If you want your tomorrow to change, change the kind of seed that you are sowing today. Change the kind of seed you are sowing today. Listen to me. Do you know why you should not talk anyhow? If you talk anyhow, that anyhow that you talk will produce a harvest tomorrow. Yesterday I was talking with a sister and I was a bit under pressure and I just spoke angrily. And from the way the sister just went quiet, I knew that what I said hurt her. So I spoke back to her. I said, please don't. I said it wrong. I'm sorry. I said it wrong. You know why?
Because what I said is going to produce a harvest. So I needed to kill the seed that I sowed.
Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying.
I needed to kill that seed before I see the harvest. Some of you, you're not careful about what you are sowing. Whatever you are today, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you sowed the seed of going to school. That is why you can survive today. You sowed the seed of education.
If not, today you'll be somewhere. You know, when they say those things, I used to wonder, why can't God give you two?
But are you hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody getting something here today? I said, is anybody getting something today? It's the law of the seed.
And let me say this, that
the most important ground to sow your seed is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Many years ago, 2005, I think, most of the banks in Nigeria did what they call IPOs, initial public offerings. So they sold shares. How many of you were old enough to remember when that happened? And so I didn't know anything much, but I don't even know how much I bought specific ones. 5,000 naira, 5,000 naira. That's what I bought. 5,000 naira, 5,000 naira. Specific. Somehow I was led to everyone I bought. That my 5,000 naira that I bought, sir. Some of the places as of today, 5,000 naira that I put, some of them are 200,000, 300,000 naira worth if I'm selling them today. Recently, just the dividends I got from one, 18,000. But there were some that I sold that even the company has been forgotten. The company is forgotten. Listen to me. Jesus said, do not put your treasure where moth and rust will take it. He said, are you hearing what I'm saying? So there is not every ground that is a good ground for your seed. Paul was writing in Galatians where we read. He said, those that sow to the flesh. You know what many people do, sir? Many people, most of their investment is in their clothes. When you see them, you say, wow. But that's all they have. That's all they have. Very soon, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? Very soon, clean. You know that? You know that thing they call clean? You know, very soon clean will clean it. Are you hearing me? Many people, their investment is in the cars they drive. You see the cars there and say, wow. Very soon, mechanic and Nigerian roads. Are you hearing me? Many people is in the food they eat. Wow. Do you see the food some people eat? I'm not talking about the quantity of the food. I'm talking about the class of the food. There are people who, if you quantify, some people have eaten houses, they have eaten the university of some people, they have eaten. There are some people, a week will not pass, they must eat fish. Oh Lord. There are some people, a week cannot pass. That week is not the same. I'm feeling somehow. Why even are there? I didn't eat suya this week. I'm feeling somehow. I didn't eat chicken. I'm feeling somehow. I'm feeling somehow. That week is not a normal week. Am I talking to anybody here today? Listen to me. Do not put Matthew 6:19, I think. Do not put your treasure. Matthew 6:19. Do not put your treasure where moth and rust. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. Where what? Moth and rust dust corrupt. You know rust. You know rust. Yes. Moth and rust dust corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal. Some people, they are blessing, their seed is in their house. It's just building stuff. Just building stuff. Look at the next verse. But lay up for yourself what? Treasure where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 10 verse 29. Mark 10:29. Let me show you something the Lord showed me. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has what? Left what? Or what? Or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake. And the gospels. Which means, sir, John, I want you to receive grace. That a season will come in your life that you will sell lands for the gospel. You can say, I have 100 by 100 over there. Sell it and roof this church. You know, let me tell you something interesting. You know those people who are saying, no, this is New Testament. Go and check the giving in New Testament. People were selling land. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Or lands for my sake and the gospels. Now look at what it says. But he shall receive 100-fold. Where? Where is he going to receive the 100-fold? What is now? What does now mean? In this lifetime. You see, I discovered that many people believe in their business more than they believe in Jesus. So they are willing to make sacrifice for that business. But they're not willing to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, let me ask you a question. What do people sell their houses to do now? They sell their houses to invest, isn't it? Oh, now. Talk to me. What do people sell their cars to do? But do you discover that Jesus said the kingdom of God is a company you can invest in? Hey, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Jesus said what? The kingdom of God, sir, is a company you can invest in. That you can actually sell your house for the kingdom. That you can actually sell your car for the kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That anybody who, he says, but he shall receive 100-fold. Jesus said that if you do it in the kingdom, wallahi, Jesus said, I will give you back how many fold? 100-fold. That means that if you invest with me, there is no loss investing with me. That this company, you can trust it. You can trust this company more than MTN shares. Some of you trust your friends more than Jesus. Your friend is selling beans. You carry 100,000, gave him, said, add me to your business of selling beans. But you cannot trust Jesus with 5,000 naira. You can't tell Jesus, okay, I'm taking this and putting it in your own business. How many of you know that kingdom is a business? Am I talking to anybody here today? I'm saying, am I talking to anybody here today? Can I say something to you? Let kingdom business be your first business. Let your highest investment not be in concrete and sand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let your highest investment be in kingdom. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. What is he going to receive? Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the world to come, which means that when I invest in the kingdom, sir, I'm not only investing for this life, I'm actually also investing for the life to come. Every other investment you make, charity, is for this life. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now listen very carefully. Because many times when this kind of thing is taught, people assume that we are trying to deceive them. Now remember that in this same place, I have taught you hard work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, I want to remind you that in this place, I've taught you hard work. That in this place, I've taught you different types of investment to do. So when I arrive at this place and I begin to teach this, then you know that I'm not trying to deceive anybody. Because listen to me, except the Lord builds the house, may you not I had a meeting with the deputy governor this morning, and in conversation he made a statement. He said, he said, how is Tumfrey? So I was saying, fine. He said, Kai, that your Tumfrey was talking. Then he said, that is why we are saying that, because part of the reason why development didn't come here is that if they want to, so he was saying that we want to make road, but we will compensate you. So I wanted to say, sir, how much is the compensation? Are you hearing my point? Sir, you can build house. Government can come with their bulldozer. After you have built a house of 10 million, they will bulldoze the house and give you 500,000. Let me tell you, when we got this land, they said to me, they came, they put a line right where this door is. They were going to cut off straight this way and take this road was supposed to be, where you are sitting here, was supposed to be this road. And the secretary to the PAMSEC said to me, she said, Pastor, if government have decided to take your land, there's nothing you can do about it except to pray. When she said except to pray, I said, hey, thank you for giving me the key. You know, sometimes God can use somebody to tell you what to do. So we went into prayer for 2 weeks. Sir, by the time we finished prayer, I even forgot what they were saying. I traveled. They called me from the ministry. I said, ah, Pastor, we've been waiting for you to come. I said, come. Then I remembered that we had a case. Then I sent the brethren to go and check. When they got there, they said, no. They said, Pastor, just do your fence, whatever. That was how we secured this land. It was in the place of prayer. May your investment not be in sand and cement and metal and block and your stomach. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I even say something to you? May your investment not even be in your children only. May you invest in the kingdom, because it has returns in this life and in the life to come. God bless you.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.